Welcome to Office Hours, go getting it started. We've got some questions in the thread, so I'm going to go ahead and answer those. If you have any additional questions, make sure you drop them in the thread. I'll get to them in order that they appear. Yay, I see more people jumping in and adding stuff. Fantastic. So starting off with a question from Mr. Squarepeck, who says, so how does the new Unity pricing model changes affect NeoSphere, if at all? So this happens a lot when news happens, particularly news with software projects that we use as dependencies of Neos. The news comes out and then people assume sometimes, or forgive me for assuming that you're assuming, but you know what I mean, that we instantly know what this means for a particular product. So for example, a new headset comes out and then immediately people are like, when are you going to implement it? It's like, the product was announced like 5 minutes ago. We don't even know what it is. I mean, we do, but like, you know, we need to discuss it and stuff like that. So that's exactly the same with this particular change. The new Unity pricing model is ridiculous. Lots of people are complaining about it. There's lots of sort of edge loops and edge cases and potential for abuse from just sort of usual traffic. It's a very confusing thing. I don't think they've even thought themselves, that's Unity, how they're going to implement it. I saw some tweets from some authors of Unity-based games that are actually going to be on Xbox Game Pass. For those who are unaware, Xbox Game Pass is a subscription service where you gain access to games. They're worried because as an Xbox Game Pass game, the amount of people that are able to play your game is really difficult to predict, because potentially every single subscriber to Xbox Game Pass could play that game, but they don't know how it's counted. Is it counted based on install or acquisition? And how is it counted? How is it known? What also isn't clear is if I just uninstall and reinstall the game multiple times on my computer, is that going to like count? We don't know. So that's basically the answer. Like, we don't know what it's going to do. We are aware of it. We are looking into what's going on there. But until we see exact implementation details from Unity, we don't specifically know. If there's any updates to that that would affect things, you can read about it in the announcements channel. Moving forwards to Tiki's question, Tiki asks, the headless config array auto-spawn items doesn't spawn a NeosDB link item on startup, while the... I have a call. Get that over to voicemail. Let me reread that again, sorry. The headless config array auto spawn items doesn't spawn an NeosDB link on startup, while the spawn command works with the same URI. Am I misunderstanding something? Does it apply to all worlds, and does it work on world restarts? I don't know. I'm opening up the code base to find out for you, though. I gotta just push buttons until the code base opens. Sorry, it took me like 3 attempts to read that. I got really distracted. I don't like telephones, like, I think it was a creator on TikTok or YouTube that sort of said, like, who decided in the world that everyone needs to carry around a device in their pocket which allows anyone in the world to immediately demand your attention at any time? It's very rude. No, before mobile phones and even before telephones, it will be like, oh yeah, I haven't spoken to Bill because I've got no methodology to speak to Bill. If I want to speak to Bill, I've got to go to Bill's house. Now it's just like, yes, I want instant access to Prime. I'll ring them. Usually it's some sort of scam or a billing department from various services. I hate it. It's like, we've sent you a bill for this much. It's like, yes, I'm enrolled in autopay, and so my it'll just happen automatically. Why are you ringing me about it? Okay, so the Neos's code base is opening, so I can take a look at auto-spawn items. Next question is, should removing items from a camera's render positively affect performance, or is it negligible? I'm trying to find bottlenecks in my multi-camera setup. Yes, removing items from a camera's renderer will affect performance, but how much it'll affect performance is like not... I can't answer it as like a whole... I can't like give you one answer to rule that. Good way to think about it is to remember that, first of all, your computer is already rendering stuff twice. It does it for the left eye and the right eye, and that's how you get the stereoscopic vision. By adding a camera, that camera is then rendering the entire world an additional time, depending on who has that camera running and who can see the output of that camera. Then you get into the whole rendering loop. So basically, it does the whole rendering loop another time. So say there's one camera and one user, that's 3 times it's doing the whole rendering loop. Reducing the amount of geometry that it has to render will help. Reducing the amount of materials that the camera has to render will also help. But again, I can't give you like a holds bar, like how much it will affect performance. You just need to, like, figure it out. Depends what your camera is doing. I'd encourage you to use camera anchors and the camera streaming dialog that exists, because that sets it up in a way where every user in the session by default isn't required to render that stuff again. Depending on your setup, you might have a camera that is requiring every user in the world to then render everything an additional time. So do keep an eye on that one. All right, jumping down to double checking I'm not missing any. Jackal is asking if my tutorial worlds are still available. They should be. Jackal's looking for the mineable ore one in particular. That should be up. If it's not, let me know. I can head in and republish it or something. It should be there, though. Jumping through. All right, the code base is opened. Let me see if it's actually open, because you know, like, opening it is like only like half the story. Auto-spawn items. Here it is. Find all references to auto-spawn items in the entire Neos codebase. Go. Okay, is this for each world? Start world. Okay, so for each world, looks like each world. Yeah, for each world, it just spawns the object that's in that array. It should be a Neos DB link or a Neos rec link should work. You'll get a log message if it's not well-formed. It'll say invalid auto-spawn item URL. Let's see what type of URLs it's expecting. Yeah, it just uses the load object routines. Yeah, it should just be an ESDB link. Ah, excellent. The message, the call got left a voicemail, and I can resolve that now because there is a, you know, I have auto transcribe of voicemail messages into text, and so I'm just like, I have read the text, and it's like, do this. I'm like, okay, I can do that. Doesn't need to be a telephone call. As for the commentary that's going on in the thread here, we're talking about tech support scammers. While the YouTuber content creator community goes after the individual scam callers, which is I still guess like a you know, a noble cause, because it prevents other people from being scamming, what you actually need to do is challenge the companies. You need to find out the company that the person works for and challenge that. Otherwise, you're not going to get any work, because as some people have said, sometimes it's the only job that you can get. As an example, if you find yourself on hard times, with your regular industry, let's say, for example, my industry. So if I was not able to find a job for my industry, the tech industry, then I might consider jobs outside the tech industry, such as Uber, DoorDash, grocery stores, bars, coffee shops, etc. Like, I would have to work there because I can't get anything else. So do keep that in mind. I don't see any additional questions. Oh, actually, here we go. Jackal just posted a question. Oh, no, they've forgotten the question. Okay, never mind. Well, we don't have any additional questions, so we'll just, you know, sit here until someone calls it some sort of meandering to go off. Actually, I do have a meandering of my own. There is a thread going on right now in the Neos Discord concerning OSC. I just want to, like, just dispel all reasonable doubts. If you want a feature to, like, exist in Neos, just ask about the feature. Don't ask about your intended implementation of it. So the conversation started because essentially someone wants us to support more face tracking hardware. Ask for that. Instead, we got like, let's support OSC or VRFT. And it's just like, no, like the whole OSC VRFT pipeline is just a massive hack. It's a massive hacky clutch. And the reason behind it is because VRC itself has not implemented those face-tracked hardware. Now, they made the decision to do that, and they implemented OSC, and I'm glad that they did, because it's given everyone the capability to do whatever the hell they want with OSC. Great. But we don't need to follow suit and do the same thing as them. We can just directly implement the headsets. And people go like, won't that work with Questlink and ALVR? And it's like, that's up to us to figure out, and then we'll implement it. Right? OSC is just absolutely terrible. VRC is absolutely terrible. We could add OSC, but I don't actually think we need to, because we have web sockets. If we added regular sockets, you could just do OSC yourself. Like, it's not the correct solution in Neos's architecture. Like, it's the equivalent of basically going like, yes, I need to hammer in this nail. Let me use my shoe. Like, there's a hammer. Use it. I'm not like Sliger says that I'm saying VRC is terrible. I'm not saying that VRC is terrible. What you need to do is you need to separate what they're doing from why they're doing it and examine both of those. So they implemented OSC. That was a choice that they made. that is the decision that was terrible, not VRC itself, right? It's just like, it's just monumentally mind-blowing. It's like, just implement the headset directly. And if you can't do that, fantastic. Maybe OSC is good, but for our purposes, we're just going to implement the headsets directly. And everyone go like, but you haven't implemented the headsets directly. Yeah, we haven't implemented anything for very obvious reasons that you can read about in the announcements channel. That doesn't mean that we're not going to, and that doesn't mean that we need to implement OSC, because that's a solution. No, that's still an implementation. Jekyll asks what OSC is. It stands for Open Sound Control. It's a layer on top of MIDI that is usually used for controlling MIDI systems. Now, MIDI is already bad, so OSC is bad as well on top. It's designed for, like, you know, lighting, sound, equipment, theater, stage shows, etc. Another common one there is DMX. And no, we're not going to support DMX either, or put face tracking over DMX, right? We could support DMX, but if we supported DMX, it would be for DMX stuff. Like, controlling the lighting at a convention would be a great use case for DMX. I think there's a DMX plugin or something. Anyway, I'm going to go and scroll up and get back to actual questions. Exo the Wicker says, did you find the stick guy? I don't know what that means. If you can jog my memory, that would be great. Scrolling down, Tiki says, to prevent weird angles in the filming camera, I use a Portal Plus camera in my multi-camera setup. Is there a better way to do it? Yeah, that would add an additional render to that, because the Portal is basically another camera. Like, it's called Portal because of what it looks like and how it works, but it's just basically another camera. Figure out how to do that without Portal, please. You just doubled the performance problem. Oh, Exo the Wicker wants to know about the guy holding the stick during the combination. Yes, I did. I think I put it in the actual old thread. Let me take a look. Because I have immediately forgotten. Like, Nightmaster of Arms, something like that. Oh, I'm going to have to find it again now. Proclamation King Charles. Accession Council. Here we go. The Accession Council. That's the phrase I was looking for. So the Accession Council is all members of the Privy Council. Privy Council has... Oh, I've forgotten. It's like, it's something ridiculous. I put it somewhere. Here we go. College of Arms. I found it. I'm just a wizard with Discord searching. So here's the College of Arms, and you can go through and you can, like, find who's there. Here we go. Guard of King Arms. Here it is. David Vines. So David Vines is, I think, the person who read the proclamation, but, like, you can see more of their sticks and their silly outfits here. It's a... The loose summary of it is tradition, but there we go. I watched a TikTok this morning where it was a mother, and she was saying that their child said, tradition is just peer pressure from dead people. And I'm like, sort of. Tradition is good to some extent. A good example here, and you can hate me if you like, but there's a series by Business Insider, a YouTube channel, where they talk about some of these companies that are making products using traditional methods, like they're doing pottery or maybe dyes or maybe incense sticks was, I think, another one. They're like, oh yeah, we make this pot using a traditional method that requires that we, like, climb to the top of a mountain and, like, put the clay inside a goat's stomach and, I don't know, all this other stuff, and it takes, like, 4 years to make a pot. And I'm just like, or you could make a pot factory, you know, like a pot that you might buy from a garden shop. Exactly the same pot, same function, just made very quickly. So sometimes tradition gets in the way of, like, advancement, and I don't like that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a look for other questions, because we're going off into the weeds. Cool. Panda says, pretty much OSC face tracking is just hacks on top of hacks. Yeah, it's hacks on top of hacks. You know, like, the internet is a series of tubes, and, like, it's just, like, putting a tube inside a tube inside a tube inside a tube for no real reason. All right, let me look for other questions here. Shadow actually says a portal is stereoscopic. That's correct. So it's really mock. Don't use a don't use a portal because it's like more multiplicative. You're getting almost towards the realms of sort of exponential if you start using too many of those. Jekyll has a question about materials. Excellent. I see that there's a difference between what's configurable for a PBS specular material and what's configurable for a PBS triplanar specular material. Is there a technical difference? No. One of Gaines's projects that they want to do, probably after they've finished color management, is to unify our PBS materials so they all have the same properties. The reason why those properties diverged is because people asked for features in particular materials, and they were added to the shaders of those particular materials, but not backported to other variants of PBS. So what Gaines wants is like a code base which is PBS, right? And it's got all the PBS fields that we all know and love. And then all the other PBS shaders inherit from that code base to then add the specific PBS features for those other shaders. In doing that, there might be a case where we can actually get rid of some PBS shaders because they're just features supported by the regular PBS via a checkbox. An example of the sort of extreme opposite of this can be seen in Poyomi's shader. Poyomi's shader has too many options. So it could probably do with splitting itself out into a bit. For example, there's no reason ever why a clock should be part of a shader. But I heard that Poyomi shader has a clock that is part of it. All right, looking for other questions. All right, we'll go past the College of Arms and the funny outfits. Some explanation from Shadow about how triplanar works. Yep, great. Panda says, yikes, honestly, I heard people had trouble with it over in VRC. Yeah, added on to that is, and this is why I'm saying like tubes and trucks, as someone else says, on top of trucks, etc. The OSC, okay, so I'm just going to go through the whole flow for you, right? Okay, so a face tracker usually works via an infrared camera identifying where your lips and cheeks and shit are. So an infrared camera looks at your face, determines various values, which is sent to usually some form of AI. Don't think Midjourney or anything like that. The AI before it became like a buzzword, where it's actually used to solve a problem rather than just make shit posts, can figure out, based on the data it's given, what expression you are most likely creating. And it will give you a series of weights, also known as sort of confidence values, in which expression you're doing. So if you're smiling, it might say 0.98 smile. And that means there's a 98% chance that this person is smiling. Those values then get re-encoded to OSC, sent over an OSC connection, which is really just a socket, into VRChat, which then gets read by your avatar's prefab upload, whatchamacallit, and converted into a signal to play or pause or reset a Unity animation. Compared to Neos, where we take 0.98 smile and we send that directly to Neos, examine 0.8 smile, and we change 0.98 smile into 1 on the blend shape for smile. Much simpler. Much, much simpler. People talk about how Poyomi will compile variants and stuff like that. Yes, yes, sure. But still, it shouldn't have a clock inside it. Shadow asks, is what I said here correct? And points to the triplanar explanation. I don't know. I'm not a graphics person. I read shader code and I'm just like, cool. Funny numbers. Yay. I use Synergence's shader. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. Her shader is, I don't know, it's just the one I've always used. And I remember having a long conversation with her about it. And I'm like, okay, you know what you're talking about. I'll use that shader. And I just haven't reevaluated that decision. I do that a lot as well. Like, people often ask me for recommendations for computer parts. What happens is I go like deep in the weeds researching computer parts when I need to buy a computer. And then once that computer is in my possession, I don't pay attention to computer part lingo. Like, I don't know what the best graphics card or CPU is right now. The only time I will know that is when I need to buy a new computer or I'm looking to upgrade, because it's just, it's too much to look at. Moving forwards, Jekyll has a question. Is it possible to use a displacement map that applies to something that already has a specific material on it? Background, I have used a fur material to make some nice grass and I've applied that to the ground mesh. Could I add a displacement map to give that ground mesh subtle hilliness? No. You have to build it into the material that you're using, particularly with displacement. You could material stack, but if you material stack with displacement and one of the materials doesn't have that displacement value, then you're going to see like 2 terrain levels. Daxius has a question about Zixytoons and PBS spec. I don't know. I'm not a graphics person. 90% of my avatar is black. And when I say black, I don't even mean like an imaginative black. In graphics design, etc., or color palettes, or making branding for something, if you want to include black in your brand, you'll notice it won't actually be black, as in 100% black. It'll be like an off black that is more closely aligned thematically or color temperature wise with the main hero colors of the theme of the brand. So like the dark mode in Discord, for example, they could have just used black, but they chose a dark gray. And that's kind of part of their brand now, what we're all looking at in this particular thing. But for my avatar, no, it is 0x000. that's it. So I don't know. Sometimes in certain worlds, it looks like not fabric, which I would want it to look like. It looks like plastic. So I might have to edit it. And when I do, I'll figure it out. But until then, I don't know. Jackal says, follow-up question, is there a way to apply material to a splat map as opposed to just now Beidou texture plus normal? No. The splat map has to be the textures that the splat map has. The PBS unification that I talked about before would help with that, because the splat map would gain access to all of the various maps that the regular PBS shader has. I think PBS Splat has some additional texture channels that you can try in the splat map there. I don't think it's just normal and texture. I think they've got occlusion as well, but take a look. As far as my own personal opinion on all of this stuff, provided that you aren't full unlit everywhere, I don't really care. The thing that bothers me a lot is people who say, but I want my avatar to look bright. It's like, okay, cool, but it's coming up on Halloween. Halloween's like, you know, about a month or so away, etc. You want to go through like a spooky, scary map and you're just like a sunbeam? No. They usually base that on sort of older anime. There's interesting videos, I can't remember who made it, but they went through the sort of stylistic changes of anime between earlier anime and now more recent anime. So earlier anime was drawn entirely by hand, and so the shading was not basic, that's the wrong word, different, because it had to be accommodated to people drawing it with actual tools like pens and paper. But now, because it's all digital, they can do shading which is much more varied, and they can also do tone mapping a lot in anime as well, which is sort of like you do the artwork and then you apply a tone map to it or like a LUT to it to make it look even better or even differenter. There's lots of information about that. That you can go find in some links that I've forgotten, but I was reading something about it somewhere in my brain I was reading about it. I have the perfect example as well, and if a particular someone, if a friend of mine is listening, they're gonna complain, yeah, Aaron is there. So I'm watching firefighter shows, or at least I was, I've read out of firefighter shows. If you know a firefighter drama TV show, give me its name, but I've seen most of them. So there are two firefighter shows that I was watching and telling Mr. Aaron about. One is called 911. And then there's a spin-off called 911 Space Lone Star. Now, 911 is based in Los Angeles, and 911 Space Lone Star is based in Texas. The color temperatures in the LUT that has been applied to the film for 911 Lone Star just screams Texas. Like, they've applied color mapping to it that makes it look like Texas. So if you look at two different episodes, you can look at a 911 episode and a 911 Lone Star episode. The colors are the same, right? It's a red fire truck, but it looks like a Texas fire truck because they've added like a LUT to the entire like post-processing of the episodes that makes it look thematically different. And they can do that in modern anime, was my point. Let me look through some other questions before I start talking about firefighter TV shows anymore. Although I will give you a list of ones I've seen. I watched entirety of Chicago Fire, Station 19, 911, 911 Lone Star. So if you have any more that are not that, let me know. There's a UK one that I need to try and take a look at, but it's from the 90s, so it'll be a bit weird. Anyone that is like me from that sort of period knows that sometimes when you watch older TV shows, they don't like make sense anymore. And the reason is because like they're just they're like old, and it's sometimes it just doesn't make sense anymore. Naxxus says, my favorite one of that is Fire Department Chronicles, green screening myself into X to make it realistic. Is that the, and forgive the crassness, is that the bald firefighter who just like fact checks all the firefighter TV shows? Because yeah, I've seen him. He's good. I get kind of annoyed at him though, because sometimes the tonality and the intonation of the way that people do TikToks just annoys me. There's firefighting anime? Oh my god. I'll explain because there's no other questions. Please. Actually, we're over time. We don't need to. Hey, I don't need to talk about more Final Fantasy shows. Woohoo! Are there any additional Nias questions before I close off the office hours here? Unless people want to hang around and I'll talk about Firefighter shows, but I would stop the recording. It actually costs me money to do recordings now. It's something like a fraction of a cent per minute, though. Jackal says that they're still struggling to find the tutorial worlds. Should they be on to publish worlds? I think I published them, but I don't know. Yeah, Daxius, go ahead. Send me a video. I've got DMs open, etc. If they're not published, they might be in my inventory. In my public folder under tutorials, there's a tutorial world folder, as far as I remember. Exa says, can we make a firefighting show in Neos? Strangely enough, in Chicago Fire, I want to say one of the seasons in the middle, there's like 12 seasons of it, so 6, 7, 5, somewhere around that range. Some of the firefighters are in their break room, and one of them's holding sort of like the front part of a firefighter hose, like the valve handle, I don't know the appropriate term. But on the top of that valve is a HDC Vive tracker. And they're wearing a Vive headset, and it's sort of like they're talking about, like, oh, we could use this for training. And it reminds me, hey, you know those trackers that you wear on your body at set points? HTC originally intended them to be used like that for training and positional tracking of things, not people's legs, for you to just sit in front of a mirror. They're like, attach it to a gun and you can do training. Attach it to the end of a fire hose, you can do training. Attach it to a camera and you know where the camera is in the 3D scene. And the VR community was just like, I'm going to strap it to my hips and dance. And it's just like, it's amazing how like HTC hasn't capitalized on it. I guess they have for like, when they released the new tracker, they kind of like, you know, like, all right, cool. We know that that's what people are using it for. So we'll make it better for that particular scenario. But originally they thought it'd be used for more like that. That's also why the original Vive controllers were so useless. The ones, I know some people like the ones, but like, I hate them. They're huge. Again, they were used because they wanted VR, or at least assumed that VR would be used more for training, tuition, exploration, not for, hi, I have fingers and I'm animating them by moving my fingers. Yeah, nozzle. Nozzle's the word I was looking for. I didn't know this, but apparently there's more than like one type of nozzle. Of course there is, like different water pressures or spray types. Did anyone have like a garden hose with the attachment on the end that had like five different like spray types and you just didn't know what they were for? That was good. I remember like going through them and being like, which one's the best one for me to water the plants? Because I'm doing it because my mother asked me to water the plants. Shower and jet are pretty the only ones that you can use. I know some plants, they want you to use mist more because they require water to be on the leaves as well. So if you use the mist function, you can mist that. Also, if you want to cool off, on a hot summer's day and you've got one of those hose attachments, chuck it on mist. You won't get that wet, but you'll get cool because it just mists the water. Anyway, we will close off there as we're talking about hose attachments. Anyway, I will go ahead and leave off there. If you have any additional questions, feel free to direct message me, drop it in the questions and help channel, or I'll see you again next week where hopefully we won't be talking about OSC for hours, because seriously, it's just a hack, right? Okay, bye-bye.